It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
This is a pivotal week for the entire country as many states start lifting the lockdown we've been living under. Now, four more states join Georgia and Montana in lifting those restrictions. They are Arkansas, Colorado, Kentucky, and Mississippi. And another 10 are set to roll back by the end of the week, which will be May 1st. They're Florida, Idaho, Illinois, Maine, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio. Now, the easing pertains largely to allowing some businesses to start reopening while maintaining existing safety precautions like social distancing and facial coverings. Congressman Mark Green from the state of Tennessee, who eases things on April 30th, had this to say on Fox and Friends First.
I think it is time for Tennessee to go ahead and open up, and I appreciate the president's guidance to say basically that the local governments and the states should make that decision.
This is the Paycheck Protection Program becomes available again this morning after that replenishing from the last relief bill. But this time, the SBA says that they will impose limits on how much individual banks can lend due to the high demand last time. Meanwhile, Treasury Secretary Mnuchin expressing confidence in a bounce back after Congress's heavy spending.
I think as we begin to reopen the economy in May and June, you're going to see the economy really bounce back in July, August, September. You're seeing trillions of dollars that's making its way into the economy, and I think this is going to have a significant impact.
Now, the next relief bill, called Phase 4, will focus largely on state and local governments, although a fight is brewing on Capitol Hill over that. We'll hear more about that this week as well. This, as the nation's governors get an audience with the president today on a video teleconference.
All right. That was Griff Jenkins of Fox News. Sandy Rios with you on this Monday morning. Well, there is a lot to say. There always is a lot to say. And the president has pretty much suspended these daily press conferences. And you know what? In many ways, maybe he will resume them. But I do think there needs to be a break. They've just gotten out of hand. If you notice, those young reporters treat him with such disrespect, it's really hard to watch. They're so young, and they treat him as though they have as much knowledge as he has, which they don't. And then they treat him as though he does not have the position he holds. It must be the way they treat, what do you think, their moms and their dads, their teachers, never taught to respect anyone. Even, you know, you can respect people who you find fault with. You show them respect. That's part of the respect that we were taught as children, but that we didn't teach our kids for some reason. Nevertheless, so in the press conference, I believe it was on Friday, the president said something that became very controversial. And of course, now he's an idiot. But I think you should hear what he has to say, what he said exactly, and we'll put this in context. So this is what the president, who doesn't know nearly as much as those 20, 30-year-old reporters in that room, he just couldn't possibly be as smart as they are. Let's listen to what he said.
Supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that, too. Sounds interesting.
We'll get the right folks who could.
Right. And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number of the lungs, so it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me.
Sounds interesting to him, and of course, he's such an idiot. He's talking now, according to the press, he's saying that people should inject disinfectants into their body. That's what they took from that. In fact, Chris Cuomo had fun with it. This is clip 11.
Take two shots of Windex, swallow this light bulb, and call me in the morning. Come on, man.
Yeah, okay, sounds like Joe Biden, does he? Okay, so then Willie Geist on MSNBC jumped in with his little comment. Let's listen.
Yeah, he's been up there riffing at 5:30 in the evening every day since, what, March, early March sometime he's been getting up there. And now the riffs have gone into bizarre, dangerous musing about miracle cures, about injecting disinfectant, about somehow, quote, getting UV light into the body, whatever that means.
Good Lord.
I reached out to a few doctors last night, and I had to start with an apology for insulting their intelligence. I said, but is there anything to this? And they either rolled their eyes or said, of course there's nothing to this. And not only is there nothing to this, if people inject disinfectant into their bodies, as the president suggested yesterday, some of them will die. And as you said, Lysol, we've crossed way beyond the onion at this point. Lysol had to put out a statement last night telling people not to put their products in their bodies because the president of the United States was musing, but said, hey, I'm just throwing out ideas up here. Don't hold me to this. Musing about doing just that, putting those products into people's bodies.
Has anyone ever seen the series, The Men That Made America Great? My husband and I have been watching that, and it's about all these Rockefeller, Vanderbilts, Andrew Carnegie. I think there's a whole list of them about how they made America great. In fact, it's funny because President Trump, before he was ever president, is featured in it, just giving some comments along with other very successful businessmen in the country. And the one thing that you notice that's kind of a theme between those great minds, great entrepreneurs, great industrialists, great business owners, whatever you want to say, was their ability to see things that other people couldn't see. They would muse about, what if we tried this? Has anyone, any of these reporters, have any of them ever been inside or read a story or been near an inventor who says, well, what if we try this? Well, what if we tried a bit of that? And that's how I heard the president. And ironically, it occurred to me that often when the president says something like that and they quickly accuse him, he's crazy, he's out of his mind, how could he say that? Often, well, let's see, it just turns out to be true. And so I will provide that information for you right now. As we know, in part of that press briefing on Friday, this was what we learned. As the temperature increases and as the humidity increases with no sun involved, you can see how drastically the half-life goes down on that virus, meaning coronavirus. So the virus is dying at a much more rapid pace just from exposure to higher temperatures and just from exposure to humidity. If you look at that fourth line, you inject sunlight into that. You inject UV rays into that. The same effects on line two. 70 to 75 degrees with 70% humidity on the surface. And look at line four, but now you inject the sun. The half-life goes from 6 hours to 2 minutes. That's how much of an impact UV rays has on this coronavirus. So now we see, and I'll just tell you the sources here, Marriott Hotels. This is a tweet by Ari Fleischer. Marriott Hotels are also looking into using ultraviolet light technology for sanitizing keys for guests and devices shared by associates. But now we see it's not just that. We see that other companies are already in the process of testing UV light to treat coronavirus. By the way, Twitter has suspended the account of a Colorado biotech company, which is working with Cedars Sinai, that leftist, that hospital in New York that knows nothing, is testing a potential coronavirus treatment using UV light inserted into the lungs. And it was Bill Bryan, who was the head of Homeland Security's Science and Technology. He's the one that was from the quote I read just a few minutes ago. So now what's happened? Twitter has suspended the account of the bio company that's testing the UV light, because heaven knows we wouldn't want President Trump to be right or not crazy. So we have to block that out, this thing that might actually help people be healed from coronavirus. We have to eradicate, exterminate any information about that. So Twitter's doing their part on that. Just saying, and there's a lot more. I had a lot more references this morning, but that's enough to give you an idea that the president is not, as a matter of fact, crazy at all. He's crazy like a fox. He's very smart. And he knows so many more things than those 20, 30-year-old, maybe 40, and John Roberts is over that, but a lot of them are not. He just might know more than they know, but they will never admit it. They pounce like vultures on a piece of red meat. So the president has suspended those briefings at least for a time. I want to change the subject just for a second because I'm just blanking out. General Flynn's, my good friend, General Flynn's attorney was on with us Friday. We did an entire hour with her. And interestingly enough, on that very day, we had more information come out, and Sydney actually filed a new motion with the judge on Friday to completely drop the case on General Flynn. It looks as though this week he will be completely exonerated because of opening up various documents, we have learned that the FBI was worse than we ever thought, corrupt beyond measure. And we have a new name to talk about, Dana Buente, who has not been mentioned. His name is not as public, but now we have reason to believe he's still there, by the way, that he was kind of the mastermind of trying to go after Flynn, and to, at least on that part, I'm sure he was involved in more. But he was the mastermind in trying to cover up things on Flynn. We're learning this from these information that's coming out. Christopher Wray was identified in an article last week as someone who's been withholding this material on Michael Flynn that would have exonerated him. Now, the FBI official response was, oh, no, Director Wray had nothing to do with that. Well, we'll see, won't we? We will see. So it looks like General Flynn may be completely exonerated this week. I'm holding my breath. We don't know. We won't know until it happens. But it's just really amazing to me. Sydney has been a one-man army defending him. And she has just been like a dog with that bone or a rag. She would not let go until she saw him exonerated. And if that happens, it's going to be a happy day. I personally will be very, very happy. And then I hope he turns around and sues everyone who took part in ruining his life, his children's life, taking away his home, ruining his reputation, who was a guy who was really a hero for us in this country, gave all of those years to the Marine Corps, to all of his leadership, headed the Defense Intelligence Agency, actually opposed Obama when he should have been opposed. He was a hero, and they tried to destroy him. They did destroy him for all intents and purposes. I would like to see him. I'd like to see him have a Job experience where he is restored and the things are better now than they were in the past. That's what I would love to see for General Flynn. All right. So the various states are responding in different ways. I'm not sure if I have time to play these. Gavin Newsom in California made an interesting statement a couple of days ago in just his comments on how President Trump and the administration had handled things in California. I think it's interesting. This is clip five.
Also want to just thank, yesterday announced that the president was extending support for new swabs to get more specimens, increase our testing capacity. We got word today that 100,000 swabs that he committed this week, 90,000 are arriving, and we'll start to distribute them in the next day or so. That's very encouraging. I know it's not the 100,000, but they told me they'll make up for that 10,000 next week when the 250,000 arrives. So conversation, commitment, promise made, promise kept, 90,000 on the way, be distributed tomorrow.
All right, so that's Gavin Newsom. Isn't it interesting? Democratic governor of California praising the president and the administration. Well, on the other hand, most of the Democratic governors are not doing that. And as a matter of fact, in Virginia, the state health commissioner is predicting that Virginia will be, locked down for another 2 years. 2 years, 2 years. Governor Inslee in Washington State is also making life miserable. Governor Whitmer says her lockdown has saved lives, and she shames the protesters. There's a lot happening. I want to play for you some lengthy clips from a press conference that was done by two doctors in California who own a series of emergency rooms all over the state. And it's fascinating. It's going to be lengthy. But I think it will help you to understand what it is we're dealing with and why we need to open up now. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Every day, babies in their mother's wombs are fighting for life, with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
Preborn's mission is to help save babies' lives and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Jackie Haven, Deputy Director for the USDA's Center for Nutrition Policy and Promotion. Ms. Haven helps set national nutrition policy and develops dietary guidelines to support healthy eating habits. Genesis 9:3 reminds us of the blessings of food that the Lord has provided us. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you, and as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Jackie Haven as she provides good nutritional standards and healthy eating guidance. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Join us as we count down to the National Day of Prayer. Details available at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. I need you to do something right now, folks. Text pound 250 with the keyword baby. We are in a crisis point in American history, and there is growing concern that the nation's abortion rate is about to explode. So I need your help right now to save the life of an unborn child. And that's why I'm partnering with Preborn, an organization equipping pregnancy centers with ultrasound machines. 80% of women who have an ultrasound save their child. So get on your phone right now. Text pound 250 with the keyword baby. Text pound 250 with the keyword baby. Almost 95% of the nation is on lockdown. The medical experts predicted more than 2 million would perish. Those numbers have been revised to around 60,000, and now the validity of that number is in doubt. A Stanford University professor tells Fox News the death rate may be significantly lower, and the facts do seem to back that up. Hospital ships sent to Los Angeles and New York are virtually empty, and on my national talk show, the Secretary of Veterans Affairs delivered a stunning pronouncement. The VA offered more than 7,000 beds to the public during the pandemic. To date, he said not a single bed has been used, not a one. The loss of just one person is a tragedy, no doubt, but as it now stands, the coronavirus could be less deadly than the seasonal flu, and that's excellent news, but it's also troubling news, because someone needs to explain why we shut down the country and sacrificed our civil liberties. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
The U.S. death toll from the coronavirus now tops 53,000 in just 2 months. That's close to the number of all the Americans killed in the Vietnam War over 19 years. Now, some states like Georgia and Oklahoma are starting to reopen businesses, despite warnings from public health officials that relaxing restrictions too soon could lead to more cases and more deaths. But the economic pain is severe, with unemployment numbers in this country not seen since the Great Depression.
Yeah, that's how Chris Wallace started Fox News yesterday. If you're watching Fox, if you watch Fox and Friends, you are still in that whole vortex of believing that the world is ending with coronavirus. I don't see any course correction by hardly any of the just regular hosts. I do with Tucker Carlson. I do with some of the others. If you're watching like the news programs, it is, the sky is still falling in case you were confused. And these governors that are opening up the states are, putting people at risk. People are going to die. Well, yes, because people do die of disease. It has to run its course. And yesterday, this is not a new, I think this happened last week. There are two doctors, Dr. Dan Erickson and his partner, Dr. Mashi, who own a system of urgent cares in the state of California. They run north to south. And they did a press conference. They brought the press in and they spent, I watched all 75, I think, minutes of it. It was fascinating. In fact, we'll put it on our Facebook page because I really do recommend you watch it. But I want to play a lot of it, okay? Because I want you to hear what they had to say. We will start with kind of the conclusion. This is Dr. Erickson on his conclusions and why we need to open back up. Here it is, 21.
Basically, our conclusions are that when I look at the basic tenets that we know of microbiology, and I say, do we need to still shelter in place? Our answer is emphatically no. Do we need businesses to be shut down? Emphatically, no. Do we need to test them and get them back to work? Yes, we do. The secondary effects that we went over, the child abuse, alcoholism, loss of revenue, all these are, in our opinion, a significantly more detrimental thing to society than a virus that is proven similar in nature to the seasonal flu we have every year. We also need to put measures in place so economic shutdown like this does not happen again. We want to make sure we understand that quarantining the sick is what we do, not quarantining the healthy. We need to make sure if you're gonna dance on someone's constitutional rights, you better have a good reason. You better have a really good scientific reason and not just theory. We're going to work diligently to find a vaccine. And the one of the most important things is we need our hospitals back up. We need our furloughed doctors back. We need our nurses back, because when we lift this thing, we're going to need all hands on deck. I know that the local hospitals have closed two floors. Folks, that's not the situation you want. We're essentially setting ourselves up to have minimal staff, and we're going to have significant disease. That's the wrong combination.
Yeah, and if you don't believe him, I had in my inbox this morning these three reports, and they will affect so many of you. Anne Arundel Medical Center has furloughed 1,000 employees. I believe that is that's in Maryland. They furloughed 1,000 employees. Mayo Clinic has laid off 40% of its employees nationwide, 40%, because hospitals have not been able to see patients or do anything but treat corona patients. And not only that, Ohio's university hospitals have slashed salaries by 20% without enough work for employees. Okay, so he's talking, this Dr. Erickson is talking about a very real problem. He's asked now in this interview, and he's got some, let's just say, we'll say hostile press, we will say that, in the room with them. And they ask about Dr. Fauci and how this all started. Here's Dr. Erickson responding. This is clip 16.
So is Dr. Fauci wrong then when he says that COVID-19 is shown to be nearly 10 times deadlier than the flu?
Initially, maybe that was true. But again, I'm going through the numbers. I'm not saying who's wrong or right. I'm going through the science and through the numbers. And I, like you, have been watching media and studying this for 2 months, night and day. I go to bed at 2 or 3 in the morning every day. I read after my shift and I say, what's going on here? I'm not in an ivory tower. I'm in seeing patients every day, and I'm collecting my own data. I didn't have data 2 months ago. I just shared my data. 6.5% of all patients we tested are positive. That's actual, unfiltered, non-political data.
So respectfully, to go off that question, and I know you guys are obviously very intelligent, very accomplished physicians, do you think that you guys know more than the top immunologists in the entire United States, and that basically every country in the world has got this wrong, that accelerated urgent care has got this right?
I'm not saying, again, I'm sharing the data. I'm not saying we're right, somebody's wrong.
But more conclusions from that data are different than what the top doctors worldwide are concluding. Why is that?
They had no data. The data is coming in.
The World Health Organization, the U.S. government has no data.
No, I'm saying you have to give the virus time. From December to now, there was tons of hypotheses. You have to let the data work. Let the virus rise up. Then we study it and we see, did we respond appropriately? Initially, the response, fine, shut it down. But as the data comes across and we say, now, wait a second, we've never, ever responded like this in the history of the country. Why are we doing this now?
All right, that was Dr. Erickson, who runs these, he and his partner run these urgent cares all across California from north to the south. And he and his partner, they give their resume when they start. They're both experts in immunology and microbiology. And they've been in business for like 25 years. Okay, so they're not kids. His partner, Dr. Mashi, then was asked about Dr. Fauci himself. And let's listen to his response, clip 17.
And you don't think that they're also studying that data and that their data is even more accurate and more timely than what we're getting here in Kern County?
Go ahead. Yeah. What was your first name?
Obviously, Dr. Fauci is a world-renowned immunologist, and a lot of the data that they originally gave us was theoretical because coronavirus is a new virus. We've studied coronavirus since the 70s. Coronavirus was...
we've studied different coronaviruses. This one is novel. Like SARS is a form of coronavirus, MERS is a form of coronavirus.
Sure, sure.
We've studied different types, but this one is new. So with all due respect, again, we haven't studied this virus.
But if you let me finish... So every year, according to your argument that you just made, every year...
Not an argument, just a question.
Every year when we get the flu, it's a new flu virus, correct?
Correct.
But 99% of it is flu, correct? The way viruses change, they undergo mutations through their DNA, deoxyribonucleic acid. There are different types of mutations which either cause increased virulence and more likely decreased virulence, meaning virulence meaning how dangerous a virus is. So when coronavirus was, we've been studying coronavirus since the 70s. And this type of coronavirus that came out was first and foremost transmissible through human beings, and that was new. And I think any time you have something new in the medical community, I've been a doctor for 26 years. Any time you have something new in the community, the medical community, it sparks fear. And I would have done what Dr. Fauci did, so we both would have initially. Because the first thing you do is you want to make sure you limit liability and limit deaths. And I think what they did was brilliant initially. But, you know, looking at theories and models, which is what these folks use, is very different than the way the actual virus presents itself throughout communities. And there's different communities we're talking about here. Bakersfield, a lot more widespread than Manhattan. Very, very different. So you can't really... theory and reality are not always the same. And that's what Dr. Erickson is presenting. It's not about being right or wrong. Medicine, what they teach us is you practice medicine. I'm learning every day. So is Dr. Erickson. We all learn every day. It's not about being right, who's wrong. It's not a basketball game, who made the basket, who didn't. It's about looking at trends and saying, hey, we're not seeing what they've been talking about for the past 6 to 8 weeks. We've crippled the economy. There's a lot of domestic issues going on. Is social isolation warranted for the healthy?
Earlier in the discussion, and we'll put again the whole thing on our, I hope that you will take the time to watch it because it's fascinating. They compare Norway to Sweden. Sweden did not shut down, Norway did. And they're comparable in terms of their population and the way they do life. And the death rate and the virus rate in those countries was comparable. So Norway clamped down, Sweden didn't. And they point to, actually, they extrapolate the numbers in New York City, and they come out with pretty much the same death rate as they found in Spain. They lay all of that out. I didn't pull that for you, but you can hear that. And they basically say the death rate is like 0.1. I mean, there are variations. So I would say but 0.01%. The chances that you'll die, 95 or 96% of people who develop coronavirus don't die. They recover. So they give those stats. But also, they are asked, let's see, Dr. Mashi, then I don't think we played this one, clip 18. They press him on Dr. Fauci again. This is Dr. Mashi responding, clip 18.
So, I understand that you guys are seeing different... drawing different conclusions from the same data. Why is that? That's my question.
Because we're actually seeing the patients. Dr. Fauci hasn't seen a patient for 20 years. I'm just saying, it's in general, a lot of the figureheads are not, it's like the general contractor versus the sub. He's not seeing patients. He's in an ivory tower.
Okay.
And we have a world of respect for him. He's a world-renowned immunologist. Two different things. He's an academic. We've dealt with academics all of our life. I did surgery at USC and Loma Linda, all academics. But academics and reality is two different things. Two different things. So we're just presenting our data and our opinion as medical professionals in this community.
All right, so then Dr. Erickson is asked about, should we be, you know, wearing masks and gloves, and we should still be doing that, right? Clip 19.
Why do you think we are taking these measures? Why do you think that, Governor Gavin Newsom, why do you think he's taking these measures to have California being on a strict shutdown right now?
Well, again, as a leader, you listen to the people around you, and they make decisions on different timelines, and so Gavin Newsom has people around him telling him, we think this is the best move for now. And then early on, we told people the truth changes every 2 hours, because it was. As the data moves, as we do our own testing, I'm giving a different answer now than I would have a month ago, because I understand the progression of disease in this area. I also understand the progression of disease elsewhere, because I look at their data. I don't have to live in Manhattan to watch their disease process, to watch how many positives in the community, and to understand how diseases spread. For instance, nobody talks about the fact that coronavirus lives on plastics for 3 days, and we're all sheltering in place. Where'd you get your water bottles from? Costco. Where'd you get that plastic shovel from? Home Depot. Those are fomites and carriers of disease. So you take your family sheltering in place that you think is safe, and you're taking fomites with disease that they've shown that lasts 3 days. Are you really protecting yourself from COVID? Does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me. And if I swabbed things in your home, I would likely find COVID-19. And so you think you're protected, but you've got fomites coming from, you know, Home Depot and Lowe's. And it's okay for us to be mingling in those situations, but we have to not go to work. It's okay for us to go to Costco, but not to church. Do you see the lack of consistency here? From a microbiological, immunological standpoint, that doesn't make sense. If you're going to isolate people, you need to shut these all down, because that's how the fomites are being transferred. When you go to Del Taco and you get a plastic bag or piece on your burrito from someone not wearing a mask who is just wiping their arm on your thing, do you think you're protected from COVID? When you wear gloves that transfer disease everywhere, those gloves have bacteria all over them. I'm wearing gloves. Not helping you. As your mask that you're wearing for days, you touch the outside of it, COVID, and then touch your mouth. This doesn't make any sense. We wear masks in an acute setting to protect us. We're not wearing masks. Why is that? Because we understand microbiology, we understand immunology, and we want strong immune systems. I don't want to hide in my home, develop a weak immune system, and then come out and get diseased. We have both been in the ER through swine flu and through bird flu. Did we shut down for those? Were they much less dangerous than COVID? Is the flu less dangerous than COVID? Let's look at the death rates. No, it's not. They're similar in prevalence and in death rate. So we are saying that our response now that we know the facts, it's time to get back to work. It's time to test people. But again, testing gives you a moment in time. Testing tells you, the nasal swab says positive or negative. The blood vial, the tiger top or the finger stick, gives you IgG, IgM. IgG being the long-term immunoglobulin we look at for immunity. But again, it's a moment in time.
All right, so that was Dr. Erickson again. And Dr. Mashey, do I have time for the last one? You know what? Actually, let's go over the break just a tiny bit. And let's do the play, the last one, because Dr. Erickson, hold the break for a second, Devin. Let's play number 20, because I want them to hear the other causes of death, not just COVID. Dr. Erickson, here we go.
Is when someone dies in this country right now, they're not talking about the high blood pressure, the diabetes, the stroke. They say, did they die from COVID? We've been to hundreds of autopsies. You don't talk about one thing. You talk about comorbidities. Their vessels were narrowed. Their lungs were a smoker. COVID was part of it. It is not the reason they died, folks. It is one of many reasons. So to be so simplistic to say that's a COVID death because they have COVID, you know how many people die with pneumonia or people that die from flu? With flu, I should say. It's not from flu. Their lungs were compromised by COPD. They had a heart attack 2 years ago. They have a weakened body. We aren't pressured to test for flu. But ER doctors now, my friends that I talk to say, you know, it's interesting. When I'm writing up my death report, I'm being pressured to add COVID. Why is that? Why are we being pressured to add COVID to maybe increase the numbers and make it look a little bit worse than it is? I think so. So this is what I'm hearing from physicians I talked to in Wisconsin, New York, and everywhere.
So you think that physicians are being pressured to make the numbers look worse than they are?
They're being pressured to add it to their diagnostic list.
And
so
where is that pressure coming from, in your opinion?
Well, I'm probably coming from the administration. So their administration is saying, it's probably coming from the hospital administration. I didn't ask them specifically, but they said we're being pressured in-house to add COVID to the diagnostic list when we think it has nothing to do with the actual cause of death.
All right, see, isn't that amazing? Okay, Devin, you can start the bumper now. I just wanted you to hear that. That's again, it's Dr. Erickson and his partner, Dr. Mashi, who own this set of urgent care facilities in California from north to south. They said so much more, 70 minutes of interesting, fascinating information. They're not the only ones talking like this. Trust me. I've heard these things. You've heard, you know, hints of this from me for the last probably couple of weeks. We are beginning to see that I believe we are being manipulated. It is not true that coronavirus is not dangerous. It is not true that people have not died. I am not saying that. Never had. But there are people that are stepping in to whip it up, overstate it, because they have something more dreadful in mind for all of us. And I'm going to get to that next, so stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Here Jesus instructed his disciples to cross a lake and meet him on the other side of it. As they went, they were met by a violent windstorm that halted their progress. Often in our Christian lives, we receive clear instruction from the Lord, only to be met by an obstacle that halts our progress. We must, however, recognize that the onset of a storm does not cancel out God's instructions. Halted progress does not equal denied destination. When Jesus directed the disciples to go to the other side, he absolutely meant for them to get there. Delay does not equal denial.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Airing the Addisons.
I said, tell me where we can go in Scripture and read that. Mm-hmm. And they gave me a list of books.
Will and Mickey Addison bring biblical perspective to issues affecting the church and the family.
There is nothing that compels us to seek something outside of the Bible because the Bible is not sufficient. Mm.
Airing the Addisons, weekday afternoons, 2 to 3 Central on American Family Radio.
And people don't know how to combat the lies because they don't even know that those are lies.
Cross-examined with Dr. Frank Turek.
Dr. Norman Geiser said elections are normally the choice between a known witch and a suspected devil.
Examining the role of Christians in a post-Christian society.
Since we don't have Jesus on the ballot, we're never going to have a perfect candidate. And quite often, we got to choose the least worst choice.
Cross-examined with Dr. Frank Turek. Saturday mornings at 9 and Sunday afternoons at 4 Central on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. We just passed another Earth Day while eco-fascists continue to cry apocalyptic warnings about global warming. But the truth is that if global warming is occurring, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. 10 times as many people die from cold snaps than heat waves. A warmer climate means fewer people freezing to death, which is good for people who'd rather live. A warmer climate means longer growing seasons and more bountiful harvests, which is good for people who like to eat and don't want to see people starve to death. Greens blame global warming, if it's occurring at all, on carbon dioxide. But CO2 is not a pollutant, it's plant food. It's the very stuff of life for plants who require CO2 to grow. They not only absorb CO2, they give off oxygen in return, which is great for people who like to breathe.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
The
This is Frank Affley with the Secure Freedom Minute. When this traumatic period's history is written, one public figure will stand out as having presciently and courageously warned of the threats we are facing from the Chinese Communist Party. Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton often is assailed for making observations that flout the prevailing conventional wisdom, only to be proven right. That's likely true of his latest accusation that the CCP deliberately and consciously allowed vast numbers of Chinese to travel abroad after it determined how dangerous the Wuhan virus was, but before the rest of us had a clue. The CCP did it malevolently, Senator Cotton contends, to infect and damage the rest of the world rather than contain the suffering and cost within its own borders. If Senator Cotton's right about this charge, too, it would constitute an epic crime against humanity, and the CCP perpetrators must be punished. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Your legislature has now set up an oversight committee to oversee your actions. Any concern that you've gone too far in any way with the stay-at-home restrictions?
No. I know that what we have done, the vast majority of people in Michigan agree with and have done the right thing. Because of that, what was looking to be, you know, just an astronomical increase and predictions with regard to how many people would lose their lives from COVID-19, we have flattened that curve because people are doing the right thing and people recognize the value of the order that I've issued. We also know that at the time, Michigan had the third highest death rate, the third highest number of positive COVID cases, and we are the 10th most populous state. So we had a unique issue here in Michigan. It was hitting us incredibly hard, and that's why we had to have a unique solution. Even though it was more aggressive than other states, we have started to really push down that curve, and we've saved lives in the process.
Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan. Yeah, of course, in the process, she left abortion clinics open. Remember, she said that would be essential services, but churches not so much. She won't allow people to buy seeds or plant flowers or fish on their boats or conduct business. But what she's done is save lives, according to Gretchen Whitmer. And of course, that's her story, and she's sticking to it. By the way, the New York coronavirus test shows right now that statewide, there is a 14% infection rate, and in New York City, a 21% infection rate. But the mortality rate is 0.5%. So, and by the way, that ship that was off the coast of, that had to be quickly, supplied because Cuomo, the governor, was begging for, you don't care about us, the president doesn't care about us, we're desperate, we need help. They sent the ship, and Franklin Graham, spent heaven knows how much money setting up a hospital in Central Park. But the ship is, there are no patients on it. And I'm not sure how many Franklin ever saw in his hospital. I'm not sure he'll ever say. I just, this is my suspicion because I don't have a number. But let me just say that the hospitals in New York have cried wolf. That's all I can say. They ask for masks and ventilators, and they ended up not using them. Massive amounts. Send us more. And we've sent them a lot. The mayor of New York City just over the weekend asked for $7.5 billion. We need $7.5 billion because New York is in terrible financial trouble because people have left. Many of them have gone to Florida. They've gone to other places because the taxation has become ridiculous. The governance has become ridiculous, and so they don't have the tax base. And they think that you and I, wherever state you live, you should hand over the cash. That's what Cuomo said. The bucks. Don't just talk about the bucks. Send the bucks. That's what he said. $7.5 billion is what they're asking for now. So is Illinois, whose pension system, last I checked, when I would think I was still in Illinois, they were paying retired college professors, some of them $300,000 in their retirement. So you can imagine that their retirement system is in a little bit of trouble. It's insolvent. And of course, so they want to bail out too. We should have a bailout because, so this is what's coming next. All right. But I promised to tell you why people like Gretchen Whitmer and the governor of Virginia, who's saying, it's going to be closed for two more years. Those of you in Virginia, really, is that okay with you? because your governor thinks it's wonderful. There is an article, a letter that just went out today to, maybe it went out last week, Friday, I think, to open up the government. And it's signed by lots of people, including Honorable former Attorney General under Ronald Reagan, Edwin Meese, lots of important people, and I actually signed it myself. But it's just Americans can mobilize quickly. People need to get back to work. We need to open up. It says Americans have shown they are resilient and responsible, but as this pandemic comes to an end, they must be allowed to exercise their constitutional rights and return to daily life. All right, so that's some of the actions that are taking place on that. But let me just tell you what's behind this. It is really all about the upcoming elections. This clinging to this desire to move to mail-in ballots, to make sure that there is control of the election. We've got Joe Biden, who is sitting in his basement, you know, giving these various interviews. In fact, you should hear a little bit of here's a CNN poll of the week. A Fox News poll from Michigan finds former Vice President Joe Biden leading President Donald Trump by 49-41. Other Fox News polls from Florida and Pennsylvania also show Biden clearly ahead. All right, so let's hear a president would-be Joe Biden just last week. This is clip 7.
You know, JFK said he refused to postpone. You know, that one line in his speech we all had to learn when we were kids about going to the moon. And he talked about, you know, the one thing that the line that meant the most to me and used to drive my colleagues crazy was his phrase, "I refuse, we're doing this because we refuse to postpone." What we should say as a nation, "I refuse to postpone. As president, I refuse to postpone taking immediate action." And look, I'm confident. Not only can we address the crisis, we can make most of the opportunity and create 10 million good jobs, make the U.S. the world's clean energy exporter, and more optimistic than I have been since I've been a 29-year-old kid about what we can do. And the last question I asked you about, are there things that we're going to be able to restore everything to what it was before? The answer is not everything, but we can go a long way. Oh, yeah. That's why we have to build to what reality is today.
All right, that's enough.
Not get it worse. Not
obviously,
get worse.
JFK said something much more profound than "I refuse to postpone," because Joe Biden could not remember the original quote, and so that's why he kept repeating it. That's who wants to be your president. And that's who Nancy Pelosi just endorsed. And that's who the left wants to, you know, put in place, a guy who has dementia, I guess, because he has name recognition and you think he's like good old Joe and they can get him elected and then someone else can actually run the government. It really does boil down to that. And so let me just say also, I have not discussed this at this mic. I am always suspicious of sexual accusations against anyone public. I think they have to be really, really, I think we have to be very careful about believing various things. So that's why I have not talked to you about Tara Reid, who was a staffer for Joe Biden back in 1993. And now her story is becoming more to the public. I thought initially, why in the world is it coming out now? The more I see this, the more I realize that this story is likely true. And if it's true, it's probably not the only story. Tara Reid was a staffer. She said that, I don't think I'm going to go into the details of it. You can find that in other places. Let's just say that he did really assault her in a physical way, and she describes it. And she told her mother, and she told her best friend, but she did not. And she did complain to the Senate office I don't know what she called it, but harassment by him. But she didn't talk about that particular incident, and so people did not listen. But now we have a transcript and a soundbite from the Larry King Live Show back in 1993 or 94, where her mother actually called in on the program to talk about, she didn't say names, she just said, "My daughter works for a prominent senator, and there's basically no place for her to go to make a complaint. She can't seem to get any kind of traction on his misconduct toward her." And so that sort of verifies that Tara Reid is telling the truth, plus other counts. So what's happened as a result of that? Well, does anybody remember what happened in the Kavanaugh hearing? Does anybody remember all of the women who were lying, made things up, but they were given like hours and hours on network news. Well, CNN State of the Union, NBC's Meet the Press, ABC's This Week, CBS's Face the Nation, and Fox's Fox News Sunday with Chris Wallace haven't said a word about it. Not a word about this information from the Larry King Live Show. And as a matter of fact, Google Play, it has disappeared. That episode of Larry King from Google Play has just disappeared. So I'm just saying this is the way it works. And Tara is saying, I want the same treatment. I want equal treatment. She says, media and women's groups and Democratic politicians that defended Christine Blasey Ford have kept silent regarding her sexual assault. She said, I'm sorry that I'm politically inconvenient, but my perpetrator was Joe Biden, and people need to deal with it. She says, I'm 56 years old now, and she said she talked about how Biden disregarded her, how he ended the encounter, and it was it's pretty upsetting. It is to me. And now that I believe that it is real, based on all the other things I'm reading, and so she goes through this thing with Daily Caller about how she approached these other news agencies, and they're just not interested, just not getting back to her. I say back to these women's organizations, I want the same equal treatment that other survivors have received, no matter who the perpetrator is. Emily's List, where are you? Gloria Steinem, where are you? Where are these people? She said that most of them, these groups, rely on funding that comes from the Violence Against Women's Act, which Biden introduced in 1990. And she believes that they worry they will lose funding if he becomes president. They've spoken ill of him. So they're just hunkering down and not defending her or making this known. Plus, they want him to be president. So that's what's happening right now. There is an election underway, by the way. So Joe Biden, so he's been saying in his little bunker, whenever he can articulate something, he says, mark my words, I think Donald Trump is going to try to kick back the election somehow, come up with some rationale why it can't be held, claiming that Trump is trying to let the word out that he's going to do all he can to make it very hard for people to vote, because that's the only way he thinks he can possibly win. All right, so this has been echoed by other people. I won't go through all the details of that, but you probably heard that. By the way, Andrew Cuomo is ordering postage paid absentee ballot applications sent to every New York voter. Why do you think they're doing that? Why do you think they're pushing for mail-in balloting? I just wonder. Well, then here comes this story. In the last election, 28 million mail-in ballots went missing. That was in the last four elections. Between 2012 and 2018, 28.3 million mail-in ballots remained unaccounted for, according to data from Federal Election Assistance Commission. The missing ballots amount to nearly one in five of all absentee ballots and ballots mailed to voters residing in states that do elections exclusively by mail. Then that raises serious questions about election security. We've talked about this. Christian, of course, Adams is an expert on this, and he hosts for me a lot. So 28 million, you think that might make a difference in an election? We know about voter ballot harvesting. We know about people. We have audio. We've played it from Christian's organization of people going into people's homes and filling out the ballots for them, just helping them, you know, signing the ballots for them. The U.S. has 3.5 million more registered voters than live adults. That's a study that just came out of Judicial Watch. There is a fight over voter ID. Kentucky lawmakers just overrode a veto of their governor to pass a voter ID law because they don't want it for mail-in ballots or anything else. Let's see. I guess there could be more, but I'll save it for tomorrow. All right, so here's the situation. Be sure and go on our Facebook page and listen to the discussion between those doctors. It really is amazing. Sandy Rios in the Morning, AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.